Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, of the making of books, there is no end. How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, I don't have any comments today, and I guess that's okay, but I sure would like some more. So if you like what you hear today, please send some comments in. Well, if you can believe this, in February 2019, Just the Best Literature will begin its third year in production for KPCG.fm. Now, I think that's a great accomplishment. Of course, my producer, Josh Sloan, he's right here with me, and he's a big help to all that. And, of course, my wife is not here today, but she's also a great help for all this. So what I thought I'd do is I just take the time to remind everyone that the number one goal of this program is to inspire people to read real books. Now, what do I mean by real books? Well, real books to me are books printed on paper. And I'm kind of anti-devices. I do have an iPad, and I do have a computer, but I don't have a tablet. And although if I'm flying somewhere on an airplane, I will use my iPad for reading. But that's about the only time. Most of the other times I'm reading books. So since this program began, there have been many scientific studies done that have proven beyond a shadow of doubt that the human mind is better engaged by reading a book printed on paper than reading on a computer, a tablet, or an iPad. Now, I think it's really clear that many people are catching on to this established fact, and let me tell you why. I heard on NPR just a couple days ago, now that would have been December 31st, we do tape this program a little bit in advance, but what I heard was that the e-publications market has been in serious decline since 2013. Now, I'm really excited about that. Sorry about all you e-pubbers out there. But the print market for books has been growing sharply, and I think most of you know that I also have a library degree, so any good librarian loves books, the real books. But anyway, the print market is really, once it was declared to be dying, but now it's really being revived. It's being, let's say, maybe resurrected from the dead. So I'm really happy to hear that. And so what I thought I'd do today is just talk about reading real books. Now, the point is, why do we emphasize this so much? Well, all these scientific studies show that when you read a real book or a book on paper, you're actually having a real experience. In other words, the mind is not being, injected with dopamine as much as it would be like from a tablet. It's not going to put you in a dreamy state. It's going to actually make you start thinking. Reading real books really does develop the mind. It deepens our thought process. And reading is especially important for the mental health of Silver Age seniors like me. And so it does keep us mentally active. But the point is, all you listeners out there that have teenagers, reading books is critically important for developing the thinking skills necessary for your children, and especially your teens, to excel scholastically. Now, these facts are proven. They're not even questionable. And do you realize that there are many leaders in the development of these technologies that really severely limit their own children from using computers and iPads and smartphones and tablets? And so that should tell everybody something. So for today's program, what I want to do is I want to interrupt our series on George Washington, and I want to talk about the importance of encouraging your teen to embrace reading real books and reading them often. Now, to help me do this, I have formed a team panel of students from our Imperial Academy. Now, these students are true readers. They embrace reading. And so let me just start to introduce them. I want to welcome back to the studio Jude Fleury.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you back. He was on another program with his father, and we just had a great time. It was too short. We all talked too much. But one thing, Jude is a junior at Imperial Academy. Now, he's an online student because he does not live here in Edmond. He lives at Edstone, England, at our sister campus there. So, again, welcome back, Jude. So we're happy to have you. Now, we also have Zoe Hilliker, who is a senior at Imperial Academy. Now, she does live here in Edmond and goes to our brick-and-mortar school. So welcome, Zoe.
Glad to be here.
Good. And then we also have Leah Hyde. Now, Leah is a junior at Imperial Academy. And again, she lives here in Edmond. So welcome, Leah.
Hello.
Well, it's good to have you all. So let me just start off. I don't want to do all the talking today. I want to get you three kind of talking. So let's talk a little bit about technology. And I'm just curious, what technology or what devices do you use for reading or anything? So let's start out with you, Jude.
I never really read on technology. I just have my computer. I need it for school because I take IA online from Britain. So, I am not a fan of reading on a tablet or an e-reader. I had a Kindle earlier, and it just wasn't the same as the printed book.
Right.
Can't take out your pens and write in the margins. You can't turn
like
the pages.
Sacrilege.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Mm-hmm. I write in my books.
Oh, yeah.
They're mine then.
Mm-hmm.
No one else can have them.
That's true.
So, all right, let's go, ladies. Zoe.
Our family has some laptops in the dining room that we use for school mainly, and then to check emails and stuff. But I read some articles online sometimes, but not very often. Not books online. And then I just have a little iPod Nano that has music on it. No internet connection, just music downloaded for dance and violin.
Okay. All right. So, Leah, what about you?
So we also have a family computer. I use some for school and also for checking my email, but we do often have to ask our parents to use a computer, and so they know that whenever we're on it. And then I have read some articles online. I try to keep up with the trumpet if whenever I have time, but I often notice that if I do try and read an article about the news that I'm not as focused reading on the computer as unless I print it off and highlight it, like Jude said, and take pens out and write in the margins and stuff. So I have noticed that it's just harder to focus if you're reading off of a computer.
Okay, let me ask this question. I'm going to take this another direction here. I'm going to surprise you all. So so how much of your time limit is done by your parents versus, let's say, do you feel like your parents are restricting you with technology, or do you feel like you would restrict yourselves anyway?
Oh, for me, it's both. Because I have goals every day. I want to read this many pages, depending on how many time, of a book that I'm reading. I'm sure if I was gaming all the time or watching YouTube videos all the time or doing stuff on the computer, my parents would step in and say, you need to stop. But there's definitely...
Do you resent that?
Well, no, not really. I know that they want what's best. So,
That's great.
And that would be the best thing, to just get away from it. 'Cause I do notice that, even with reading, I stay more focused, the less technology that I have. I got to close the laptop. I'm not gonna, check my email, do anything. 'Cause, I'll get distracted and then I won't hit my page goal for the day.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Zoe.
Well, my parents definitely set a lot of the restrictions that I have. But I guess I didn't really, I don't have a phone, or I've never really wanted a phone. So now, even if they said I could have one, I don't have a need for it because I've never had one. So,
yeah. So you're not missing it, right?
No, sir.
Right. So what about you, Leah?
Well, I guess I could tell a bit of a story regarding restrictions. So my parents set the restriction, you have to ask us to check your email. And so it was after my first year of PYC, and I was really excited. I wanted to check my email a lot and stuff. So I got in trouble, and I started checking it without asking my parents because I really wanted to talk to my friends. So one time my dad caught me, and so I got in big trouble for it. And so, like, after that, though, I could tell, like, it's just, I mean, it was disobedience. And so I'm very grateful for my parents, like, restricting me from that. And not having a phone as well, like, I know just how I was then, I guess. Like, if I did have a phone, I'd be on it and stuff, like a lot of teens out in the world are. So I'm very grateful for my parents' restrictions in that way. I don't feel like it's a restriction. It really is a blessing. Just, it shows how much they love you.
So. Oh, yes. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, the thing is I know, of course, I live with technology all day. You know, I have my own computer. I do have a smartphone. I have an iPad. I have an iPod, but I haven't used it for so long. I don't even, it's probably not even charged up. But the thing is, what I do is, if I am in a writing project or if I'm getting ready for class, I do make sure that I turn everything off. I mean, I turn off the mail so I don't get that beep, you know, all the time. And some of these scientific studies, they show that the people that have developed these devices, they want you to hear that beep because you get a little burst from, oh, maybe someone's contacting me. Maybe someone likes me. Or maybe, oh, I'm getting attention. And so you get a little dopamine shot in your brain. Mm-hmm. And so, but it really can be distracting. And if you have your email on and you get, have people, let's say you're in contact with those, you could have a beep every 5 minutes or something, and you could get really distracted. So even here at the office, we kind of have a, it's not a rule, but we have an unwritten rule that if you're really working on something serious, you just turn off the devices so that you can't hear them. Like now that we're taping the radio, I do have an Apple Watch, so I have it all turned off so it doesn't beep at us while we're in the taping. So I think that's really important for people to hear, and even the parents out there that, of course, I know you guys are going to a private school, your parents are investing money in it, and there are probably some more rules, here than other places, but I'm happy to hear that you see it as a benefit. And by the way, anybody listening, this isn't staged. This is just happening as we're recording. So I have not set these children up to just tell me what I want to hear here. So okay. Well, that's really important. And I think if the adults that have all these devices, if they're really honest with themselves, hours can go by and you're distracted and, you're just frittering away your time. So let's talk about reading books now. And maybe we could just start this out by you telling me, let's say, what you're reading in school. Now, all of you are probably, Zoe is a senior, Jude and Leah will probably be juniors, so you're probably reading something different than they are. So let's just start with you, Zoe. What are you?
Well, we're actually all in the same English class because it's combined from 10th to 12th grade. So we all just finished Julius Caesar in school at the end of the semester.
So you're reading the play, Julius Caesar? Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Huh. So what do you think about, how has reading Julius Caesar like helped you? How has it challenged you and helped you? And you're reading it too as well?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think it's one of the best plays. It's one of the easiest ones to understand. And mm-hmm. We teach that, we teach that in sophomore college. So that'll be one of our first plays next semester. So what do you think the value of that has been for you?
Well, as we all know, Shakespeare didn't write for the plot value. He wasn't just writing for entertainment. He actually had like some definite points that he wanted to get across to the audience. And I think a lot of what he was trying to get to, just the wickedness of human nature and how much power will corrupt, is something that had influence on a lot of great men and women throughout history. For example, John Adams read through Shakespeare's entire complete works twice, just in the period after his presidency to his death, which was about 28 years, I think, 20-something years. Yeah, two times through his entire complete works. And they quoted Julius Caesar in their letters to each other. John and Abigail Adams quoted those plays to each other. One particular time when Abigail wrote John, and it was in the middle of the, well, the start of the Revolutionary War, and she wrote him that quote from Julius Caesar where I think it's Brutus that says, "There's a tide in the affairs of men," which you know, that whole quote she wrote, basically saying that we need to act now if we're going to be able to defeat the British before they're too powerful. So, you know, obviously that had a huge influence on John Adams and his wife and others throughout history, you know, Winston Churchill and Thomas Jefferson, other biographies that I've read. Everyone has just an affinity for Shakespeare, and they love him. And for good reason, too, because we're reading it, and it's very deep, and there's a lot of great quotes, and obviously the plot, you're learning history. Shakespeare took a slight liberties with the facts of what happened, but most of it's completely true, a lot more true than you'd see in a Hollywood movie. So,
right. Yeah, Shakespeare did manipulate history to his advantage, and it's not like it's not like he distorted it. He just manipulated it somewhat.
Well, you have to get it in a 2-hour play or hour and a half.
Exactly.
Play.
Right. Right. Okay. So, Zoe, what do you think about Julius Caesar?
I really enjoyed it. I think it's my favorite play that we read in my, well, four years of English class where we read Shakespeare plays. I really enjoy the language and how it's amazing how everything's in iambic pentameter. He thought about it so much and put so much effort into getting the exact right words in just the right place. And then it was also amazing to me how many quotes, as Jude said, that are just famous. Like, we don't even attribute them to Shakespeare anymore because everyone's like, it's just a common quote. And then you read Julius Caesar and you're like, oh,
that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Leah.
Yeah, I guess just one quote that I was thinking about from what you just said, it's all Greek to me. Like, that stood out to me because that's in Julius Caesar, and I was like, wow, I did not know that. But
yeah, yeah, that's a funny scene anyway, the whole scene. Yeah. It's all Greek to me, you know. So, yeah, well, that's great. Well, I think there's an incredible value to Julius Caesar. And, you know, it really does talk a lot about, you know, how power corrupts people and people get corrupted by power. But I also think there's another part of that play that's interesting. It's the wives.
Mm, yes.
Yeah. And what they go through. So he had some understanding about things that it's timeless. It's timeless. Okay. So what else are you reading in school besides that? Nothing else. That's the current thing right now.
Yeah. That's what we just finished.
Yeah. We'll go into Lord Drim next semester.
Oh, Conrad. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Man, they're getting you the high level stuff, yeah, so that's good. All right, let's just shift a little bit now. What are you reading on your own? This is really the nuts and the bolts of what I want to hear from you students. So you've got Julius Caesar, and I'm sure you have you're reading in other classes as well. But what are you reading on your own, where no one is telling you I have to read it? Because I've had some sophomores tell me the only reason why I'm reading this is because I have to. And I'm going, that's sad. Very sad. So,
all right. I'm reading, I'm trying to do a biography on every president. Not just that, but hopefully chip away at it. So I'm on Thomas Jefferson now. Probably would have been a little bit further had I not chosen a 6-volume biography of Thomas Jefferson. So I'm regretting it a little bit now. But yeah, I'm on the 3rd volume of 6. I'm about 100-some-odd pages into it. So, it's over 3,000 pages, the whole thing, so it will be a chore to get through all of it, and it's not all super entertaining at all, but actually there's long passages of it that are quite boring. But there are also long passages that are really entertaining and really, really good. So, yeah, I'm enjoying that, not as much as I enjoyed Washington or Adams, even though I like Jefferson as a man, I think, equally or better than John Adams to me anyway. I mean, you know, John Adams is a great president as well. But that's one that I'm working on. I kind of have this bad habit of starting about 12 books and getting maybe 100 pages into each of them and then sticking with one. And I don't know. So I've got several other that I've started. I'm reading a book on just a collection of speeches by great Americans. It's collected by the Library of America. So I actually I really like their books because they do like cloth-bound editions of collections of source documents. So they've got letters from the Revolutionary War, letters from the Civil War. They've got a lot of things, not just letters, but like speeches, dispatches, kind of other things.
So let me just ask this. Who's telling you have to do this?
Well, we've got the book clubs.
How did you come up with this idea? That's what I'm after.
Okay. Well, we've got, obviously my dad started the book club a year ago, I think. We've been going for almost a year it's over a year because we started after the feast, last year. So we've gone a couple weeks over a year. So that obviously really helped. But then there was someone that came to our house for dinner. And he was talking about another book club that he had gone to. And he was like, oh, they were trying to get through this this big book on economics in this book club. And everyone dropped out because no one could finish it. And I was like, well, that sounds like a challenge to me. So I was like, you know what? I think I can finish it. And I didn't think I would, but I thought, you know, I'm going to give it a try.
So you read a book on economics.
I did, yeah. Thomas Sowell's Basic Economics. Yeah, it was great. It was a really good book. And then since then, you just kind of, you know, one question leads to another. Well, I wonder... You know, he mentions three other authors in that book. It's kind of annoying because it just gets more and more and more and more and more that you want to read, and your want to read list gets bigger and bigger on the Goodreads website. And but I mean, I'm really enjoying it, and it helps a lot if you just have a certain amount of pages you want to read every week or every day. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have a house full of books, and my goal is to read every one before I buy another one. But that's not ever going to happen. I always buy new ones.
I tried to do something like that too, but obviously I couldn't read every single one before I bought a new one because there's always another one that I want to get.
Right.
But I did try doing the thing where I have like these little tags I'll put in my books, and I put them in every 100 pages, and every time I get through 100 pages, I'm allowed to buy 50 more. So I'm only buying half as many pages as I'm reading. But somehow I still have just as many books as I had before. I don't know how that happens.
Wow. That's great. Okay, Zoe, so what are you reading on your own?
Well, I started reading John Adams by David McCullough, which I think Jude and his dad read in their book club. So Mom was like, hey, you should read it. But they're done with it, and I'm still at the beginning. So I haven't gotten that far at all. But I'm enjoying it. I think one thing that stood out to me about it is just the high level of correspondence that he had with his wife and then with a lot of other people. They just had very high-quality, deep letters that they all wrote to each other, which was impressive to me.
Right. You know, my wife and I, we always buy books and then read the same book at the same time. So she's read the John Adams. I haven't gotten to it yet. So now that I hear everybody else reading it, I thought, okay, I got to get into it. But I'm also trying to read Winston Churchill's series on World War I, and then I'm trying to finish the other series on Winston Churchill. And I have all this. I mean, we're getting into Shakespeare next semester. We got into Moby Dick, you know, in the school year. Then we got into Joseph Conrad in the school year. So I'm just a little bit behind. But okay, Leah.
So I'm in the midst of two books right now. The first one is The Last Lion by William Manchester.
Oh yeah,
I'm in the first
book.
Volume, about almost 400 pages into it. It's really amazing. I just find it fascinating how he makes it so interesting, and it's like this giant book, and you kind of would think that it'd be boring, like parts of it, but it's a page turner for sure. Like, so I'm really enjoying that. A book that I recently bought at a bookstore is The Boys in the Boat. It's about the canoers. I think we heard a message like a sermonette about them recently or a while ago. They went to the Olympics right before World War II. So it's just about how they got there. And it's really fascinating, just the story of all the... There's nine different boys who got there eventually, and their lives weren't the greatest, but they persevered. And it's just really encouraging and inspiring. So I'm really enjoying that book as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's good. So these are books you're doing on your own, and no one is telling you have to do that.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, so let me ask this. How many books have you read on your own in 2018? Did you count them up?
Yes.
How many have you read?
Well, Goodreads keeps track of it. This year I got through 37.
That's awesome, dude.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what about you, Zoe?
Well, this sounds really small now, but I got 9.
Oh, that's great. That's like almost one a month.
Almost. That's kind of my goal for, but it didn't quite happen.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
But I'd say about 9 or 10, because I was working on the autobiography of Mr. Armstrong and some bigger books, so not as many.
The long ones slow you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
It's kind of sad. You can whip through a little 200-pager, and then you get one of those massive biographies, like my dad's one on Grant. I haven't started that yet, but something like that where it's 900 pages, and you're like, is this ever going to end? Even though you really like it. It's,
Yeah, you just have to go with it. So now, here's another question. And again, I just want the listening audience to know this about the three of you. Okay, so maybe I don't know so much about Jude, but I know, Jude, you're in Irish dance. Okay, now, are you still taking music?
Yes, sir, I do piano.
You do piano. Okay, so obviously you're online classes, so you're at different time zones. You're probably doing
it
school.
Is a strange schedule, yes.
You're doing school at night, you're doing Irish dance. And what was your latest standing in Irish dance? Let's see, in
world. In the world? Yeah. The last time I went, it was 5th.
Yeah, so Jude Fleury is 5th in the world for Irish dance. Now, unless you understand Irish dance, that is a major accomplishment. Okay, now I'm just going to move to Zoe. Now, Zoe is studying the violin. She's also in Irish dance. She's also, you know, a student at Imperial Academy, which it's a tough school. Let's be honest. Even the Board of Regents in Oklahoma knows it's a tough school, and it's a good school. I think our students have the highest scores on the ACT in the state, so that's pretty good.
All 4 of them.
Yeah, all 4 students. Yeah.
No, the other school that has 2nd is bitter that we have the 1st one, because they're like, oh, they have too few students. That's not a good sample sample size, because we've had only a couple get through, and they've had like hundreds or something. I don't know.
Anyway, but we might be small, but we're still really pretty tough. All right. So, and Leah's Irish dance. She's taking the flute. She's also at Imperial. And so how do you get the time to read 37 books a year? How do you get the time to read 9 extra books a year? Because you've got your schoolwork to do too. So I want to know how do you manage all that? How do you get it in?
Just a little bit every day.
Okay,
that's what I would say. I don't know. I try to set aside about an hour every day. Sometimes more, but yeah, it just make a schedule. Try to get through your homework quickly. And focus when you do your homework. Because I know for a lot of, you know, at least teens that I've talked to, homework is a big thing. Like, it just takes out a lot of time, more time than maybe it should if they're not focusing as much, or I don't know. But if you really want to get your homework done because you want to get to other things, that is a huge thing.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Zoe?
Well, I would agree with you, just kind of chipping away each day. I've had less homework this year than the past year, so it's made me be able to made it so I could read more, which has been really nice. But my schedule says I read for like half an hour before bed, but that tends to not happen. But that's the time I like to read. It's just like before I go to bed, kind of.
That's
relax.
What my wife likes to read too. Yeah, and then she doesn't go to bed.
Yeah, I stopped doing that because I was staying up too late.
Yeah.
I tried to do it in the morning instead.
Yeah, me too. I go in there and it's like, okay, it's like 12:30. You got to get up at 5:30. You know, what are you doing? Leah, how do you do it?
I would do it more often, like before I go to bed as well. I like to journal some, and then I'll get out a book and read. It's not like a specific time, because generally I end up going to bed like not exactly the time that I would like, but Just a few pages before I go to bed. Sometimes it's relaxing. Sometimes it gets me thinking. So then maybe I shouldn't do it right before I go to bed. But yeah, just chipping away at it, like everyone else has said, just a few minutes. I mean, it doesn't have to be hours, but just a few pages and you'll get through a book.
Yeah, it's like so. You have to set a goal every day.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's yeah. That's the big thing for me.
Yeah,
I'm kind of a day by day person, so.
So do you ever take a book to you when you're at a competition, like for Irish dance? Do you ever take a book along and read?
Oh, yeah.
Do I ever not?
Yeah. Do you ever not?
Yeah.
Because I know I've been to, of course, I've been to the Oireachtas and, you know, following some of our grandchildren in it. And I know I take a book because you sit there for a long time. It's like,
yeah.
Man, wow. Anyway, so.
Definitely not on the day you compete.
No.
That's all, like... concentrate on what you're doing dancing.
Right, you got to focus. Yeah.
When your sibling is competing or your friend or something, I'll take a book.
Yeah. Unless they're dancing, then you're
right. Yeah, I'm not going to read it while they're dancing. But it's like 5-6 minutes of dancing total for a lot of other things.
And I read a lot in the cars on the way to dance trips.
Yeah. So you're not wasting any time. So in other words, the point I'm trying to make is you're not on the device playing some computer game when you're in the car. You're reading. Doing that, so you're taking advantage of the time. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back to some more discussion with our teen panel. Again, with me today is Jude Fleury, Zoe Hildeker, and Leah Hyde. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to Just the Best Literature with Dennis Leib on 101.3 KPCG. Get ready for months of exciting page turning with JBL's 2019 new season set to begin in the spring. In the spring of 2019, a tribute to Charles Krauthammer. We'll be discussing the book, Things That Matter by Charles Krauthammer. In the summer 2019, three works by Joseph Conrad. We'll be discussing the books, Allmayer's Folly, Heart of Darkness, and Youth. And in the fall 2019, Herman Melville's classic epic, Moby Dick. This will be a sea-deep analysis of this American epic. Make sure to tune in to Just the Best Literature for an exciting new season of reading and analysis.
Well, we're back with our teen panel, and we're talking about the importance of reading. And for anybody that's listened to the first half, you know that these teens are really switched on with reading. And they're not on to their devices, although they do have access to devices. But I wanted to read you, this is a quote from David Denby's book called Lit Up. And he did some personal work with teenagers to find out what their reading habits were and, you know, if they were reading outside of what they're reading in school or if they're even reading in school. And I think, you know, Leah and Zoe and Jude show that they're not only reading in school, but they're reading on their own. But here's a quote that he gives from the introduction of his book, and I certainly recommend this book to all adults out there. And again, it's by David Denby, and it's called Lit Up. And of course, it's meaning you're lit up with literature. But in his introduction, he writes, a more recent Pew survey issued on April 9th, 2015, reported that aided by the convenience and constant access provided by mobile devices, especially smartphones, 92% of teens report going online daily, including 24% who said they go online almost constantly. Apart from statistical studies, the testimony of teachers and parents is overwhelming. The evidence of one's eyes is overwhelming. In general, American teenagers may be reading more sheer words than ever, but they are reading mostly on screens. They certainly aren't reading many serious books. Most of them are incredibly busy. School, homework, sports, jobs, parents, brothers, half-sisters, friendships, hanging out, music, and most of all, screens. Compared to all of that, reading is a weak, petulant claimant on their time. One student said, books smell like old people. I heard a student say in New Haven. So let's talk about other teens you come in contact with. So all of you go to a private school. So it's a small private school. So you have most of your close friends are all reading the same things you're reading. are, maybe let's put it this way, are as many of the IA students, no names now.
Oh, boy.
Are many of the IA students reading on their own as well? How do you know that? So
there are a few that I know of that read on their own, and I know that because they talk about it. Like, I feel like of late, like, those that have gone to PYC, both Edmund and Edstone, especially after this year, we've all been encouraged to read more and to really take action in our education and educating ourselves at home. So I do feel like, especially around IA, that some have been reading more on their own. Like, a lot of them go to half-price books. They're all excited. They've been going to bookstores. And, yeah, I feel like this year especially, there's been more that read on their own.
Okay. What about you, Zoe?
I feel the same as Leah. I see a lot of kids, like, walking around with books tucked under their arms or books really? On their locker shelves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say more than in previous years, yes. Which is nice.
Yeah, I think it's improved a lot.
Yeah. So, Jude, how many... Let's see, you're pretty much alone over there, aren't you? How many...
Well, that's a little extreme. But...
I mean, let's say IA kids. How many IA kids are right there at Edstone?
Well, there was four when Vienna was there. She's in college now, so there's only three. It's just me in our house and then the McDonald's as well. So Isaac and Savannah go to IA online.
Isaac and Savannah. So are there anyone else online from England in IA?
No, just us three, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you guys are alone. So you'd have to tell on Isaac and Savannah, do they carry books around?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, good.
They don't like reading as much. Well, actually, no, they do read in the car. Yeah. Well, I like to read in the car, but that's mostly when I see them. We go to the same dance school, so we all like to take out our books in the car every once in a while and do some reading.
Yeah, that's good. So do any of you ever think of maybe read a book, say, hey, I'm going to read this book. You want to read it with me? Well, let's talk about it. Any of you do that?
I do that with my dad a lot.
Yeah.
But I know I've done that.
A lot of times we're not super enthusiastic about the same books. I mean, there's plenty of times when we are, but he'll be like, "Yeah, I don't really want to read that, and I don't know if you should read that." But yeah, because he's like, "It's just a lot of pages on one thing. Maybe you should pick something that's a little bit less specific." I don't know. There's just been times when I've needed some direction with what I should read.
Okay.
Yeah. Not like because I wanted to read the Twilight Saga or anything, but.
No. Yeah, no. Right. Yeah. We've covered some of those time wasters that some of them are very well written, but they're.
I don't really think that means anything.
Yeah. Right. So, Leah, anybody in particular you've talked to about, say, hey, let's read this book together?
Well, I don't know. Not as much just reading a book together. I feel like because of our schedules, like sometimes our schedules are different and like. We're all very busy around here, but I know Zoe and I have like looked up trumpet articles and then we bring them to school and we've talked about that, but not necessarily just like books, but yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm kind of leading into something like, now it's probably going to be a little difficult question for you guys, but you do have some association with teens and in the dance program. Would you say that you have friends in the dance program or just acquaintances, you know? So
I would say more of acquaintances, because we don't spend nearly as much time with them as we do with the kids here. We'll see them once in a while, so
right,
we're not like close, but there's a lot of really nice kids in our dance school and we enjoy spending some time with them.
So the question I wanted to ask is, what would you say or do for another teen to encourage them to get off their device and read more books? So maybe I'll just ask you to say, let's say this philosophically. How would you try and convince them?
Let's see. I think just having a goal in mind helps. We had a long lecture from Mr. Jenkins at the beginning of our English class where he talked about being a motivated writer and how much the work needs writers and why your goal should be to be a writer so that the church can use you. We need more people to write for the trumpet. We need more people to write for PCOG, whatever else. So I think just having a goal in mind, and the more you read, I think the more clear that goal kind of becomes in your mind. Because you'll read about, for example, Thomas Jefferson, total Renaissance man. He was a scientist. He was, you know, a president. He was a farmer, legislator, governor. Like, he's just kind of a jack of all trades, I guess. And they were all like that, inventor as well. So that's just something that motivates you also, just kind of to round out the edges. Okay, I don't want to just be like really knowledgeable in one area, but to round things out, you know, to have multiple skills to be useful at different things so that you can be used by, you know, the church, or if not the church, then in, you know, an employment in the world, which will help support the church. I think the Denby packet that you gave us has a really good quote about that, where he says that employers are looking for people with more liberal arts education, and that Right. Everyone thinks that you need to have a STEM education and you need to have these highly specialized skill sets. But what employers want is people that can interact with each other and that Right. Can, you know, they know a little bit about a lot, not a lot about a little bit.
Yeah, that was very true when I worked for Westinghouse Electric Company. They wanted liberal arts people.
Mm-hmm.
And they also wanted people with engineering degrees. I did not have an engineering degree, but I could communicate. And they knew I was good at writing. And so some of the engineers are, like you said, they're that STEM education where they could do the engineering, but they couldn't communicate it. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when they introduced me to a group of engineers and they said I was going to be writing some things for them. And, well, how can you write for me? You're not an engineer. And I said, but I can read what you're doing and I can make it clearer for other people. And so eventually they all liked me. They didn't like me at first. They were just really kind of offended that, wow, this non-engineer is going to be doing our writing for us. You know, but I was kind of like the ghost writer in the background. So I enjoyed it. I learned a lot from doing it. So Zoe, any ideas on how would you approach someone?
Well, I think just thinking about how books really expand your thinking, expand your mind, and then devices just sort of shrink it. I think, like, if you're checking your phone, maybe looking at Twitter, Facebook, and I don't know, whatever else, it's just there's a lot of words on there that you're reading, and it's just someone had an opinion on something. It was just like a quick thought that they sent out so the world could read it. They didn't really put that much effort into it or time. But when you have a book, someone like spent years researching, they spent a long time compiling it all together, and they thought about it a lot. They put a lot of effort into creating this product for you to read it. So I think it's just, it's like you need to be reading things that are going to help you learn a lot more, and then instead of just something that someone threw onto the internet sort of haphazardly.
So how has reading McCullough's John Adams expanded your thinking? Maybe you can give me some examples. I know that's not on your sheet. I never planned to give you everything. You know, so.
Well, I mean,
maybe you could all think about that, how the book you're reading has expanded your thinking. So go ahead.
Well, hopefully I haven't gotten that far into it. But I would say, so far, I guess I sort of said it already, but just how good they were at communicating and expressing their thoughts. Like, John Adams had his journal, which he wrote a ton in. So I have a journal, and it's kind of like, it's a good example for me to just kind of like make sure I'm writing my thoughts down and getting a lot of deep thoughts into there instead of just surface things like what happened today. But, and then with writing letters to, like, to my friends and things, it's, I would say, following, like, learning from John Adams' example, sort of, and writing good letters that have a lot of substance and not just stupid things, I guess.
Yes, right. Well, I think that's, like, you're pointing out a big value of reading, and especially biography. You know, there are things, I think all of us have strengths, all of us have weaknesses. And of course, you know, I know I have, the ability for writing. I mean, I've been writing since I was 23. But there are books I wish I could write. And of course, one of the things that I've thought about is like, finding some historical character and then developing all these letters that don't exist, but letters about their life, and then let someone read those letters, like, you found these letters, and here's the letters of so-and-so. Because I love reading other people's letters, you know. I think those are interesting things. So what about you, Leah? Let's say, how have you been, how has your reading, let's say, expanded your thinking or expanded your experience?
Well, the book I've been reading about Winston Churchill by William Manchester, it has been very eye-opening into just the backstory of Mr. Churchill's life, and it's very inspiring as well, just his childhood and how he really did struggle. His parents didn't really love him like they should have, and he really just went out like after life with gusto. You know, he knew what he wanted to do, and he did it. Like, he had failures and stuff. He had his ups and downs, like we all do in life, but he combated them with gusto, and he was confident. And I mean, that is really encouraging. I mean, you can apply a lot of things that happened in his life to your own life, and it's practical. And I think that's very helpful with reading books and biographies about other people, because they've already lived their life. Like what Judas said before, a lot of them have died. I mean, they've lived through their whole life, and but they're, like, with biographies, their life has been written down for you to take advantage of. Like, history is so important for especially young people, and just being able to take advantage of that is just such a blessing, just to be able to read books and biographies and to be able to apply the lessons in that to your own life. So.
Okay. Jude. So tell me, how's your thinking been expanded by what you're reading?
Well, in terms of what I finished, the last book I finished, actually no, there's one after that, but one of the last books I finished was Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. I think that's how you say it. This is along with history and biographies on Thomas Jefferson, but it was really good because he discusses two systems of thinking, System 1 and System 2. System 1 is fast and intuitive and direct. It gets right to the point. System 2 is slow and deliberate, and it's like how you might think when you're playing chess or when you're trying to solve a puzzle or something like that. So, you know, the point he makes is that your System 1, your intuitive response, is helpful in some ways, but it's also can lead to a lot of errors, and people can make very serious mistakes by not thinking things through. And, you know, whenever you're making a simple decision, like, should I have the apple or the banana, your System 1 is, like, crucial, because there's people that have, I forget which part of the brain it is, but they've had that part of the brain removed that's more, you know, oriented towards System 1, and they can't function. Like, he sits down endlessly weighing whether he should have the apple or the banana, because he can't just make a simple decision. But at the same time, there's other people that always use their System 1 and never slow down and just think about what they're doing, and they make serious mistakes and they lose, you know, money, opportunities, other things. So I mean, it's about behavioral economics and how that kind of applies to markets, and why the classical economic view of rationality and why we think people are rational is wrong. He actually won a Nobel Prize for writing it, so not that that's just the total authority on everything, but it still just was a good admonition to slow down and just think a little bit slower, think a little bit more deliberately, and to try to not make errors and mistakes, especially in the work setting. Because there's even companies that, investment companies that will do that. They'll invest to make themselves feel like they're losing less instead of how much they're actually losing or gaining. So I don't know. Right. That was really interesting. And then with the Thomas Jefferson book, it's just a great admonition to become more well-rounded, more of the Renaissance man style, knowledgeable in everything. Not everything, but knowledgeable in as many different areas as possible, just to be as helpful as you can, because he was just a fantastic example of that. I think John F. Kennedy said that he gathered a group of Nobel Prize winners or some like famous award-winning scientists, a big group of scientists, and he said, oh, this is the best collection of talent that we've ever had in the White House, except for when Thomas Jefferson dined alone.
Right.
Because he was just so well-rounded. So yeah, so that's the other thing that's really stood out to me about that book, the Dumas Malone series on Jefferson.
Now, now that you've gained so much from it, what if you, how would you approach someone else to say, hey, did you ever think of getting off your device and reading, and here's why?
Well, I think reading is fun. I mean, I've liked reading for a long time. I just really enjoyed it since I could, I guess, since I had the ability to read. But I have been working on, like, reading more important books that make me smarter, hopefully, and just working on expanding my mind. But I also still really enjoy reading books that I've read, like, over and over again, just simply for pleasure.
For fun, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people it is a chore. You know, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not easy. It becomes easier if you do it more, but for a lot of people, I think it is.
So now that hard. Silly brought that up, what do you read for fun, Jude? Do you like to read for fun, or just are you into all the biographies?
I think reading biographies is fun, but I think I might be a little bit unusual in that way.
Jude's mind is more developed than mine.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I love historical fiction. That's what a lot of the books I've grown up reading, like books based in the time period of World War II, just like people that may have not existed necessarily, but that's like reading books about people that lived through that. But I mean, that really could have happened to a lot of people during certain time periods. Like historical fiction, I just have found really enjoying.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I guess Freakonomics is pretty fun. They're fun. Yeah, he's Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner, I think it is. They're good writers. Just fun. Got me into reading other things. But yeah, kind of strange theories, other things that you might not think about. So I've never been one to go after the fiction. I tried reading a couple fiction books and. Just for some reason, I think this is actually a thing with men in general. They just don't get into fiction books as much. Like there's a lot of studies that have shown that men generally read a lot less than women, but if they do read, they tend to read more nonfiction books. My dad's the same way. His favorite fiction book is War and Peace, and he read that like maybe 15 years ago. I don't know. He read it a long time ago, and that was probably one of the last fiction books he read. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, that's on my list. That's on my mm-hmm. bucket list to read. I bought this really beautiful version of it. It's still
as
there.
Did I, yeah.
It's still there. But well, the thing is, because I'm a literature teacher, I have to. Of course, the program is just the best literature, mm-hmm. you know, and like when you read someone like Conrad.
Oh, I do like Conrad. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that's really based on his life. And there's no doubt that he's Marlowe, you know, in the Heart of Darkness. So I enjoy those books for the writing value, the how skilled they were in writing. And of course, Conrad, English was his third language. You know, his first language was Polish. Then he learned French. He was translating French when a lot of other kids are just in grade school. He was already translating. And then, of course, he learned English, and he is better than a lot of Englishmen in the way he writes, you know. So there is some value to that. But But again, I think most of our reading should be in the area of biography and, you know, real things. I know when I was growing up, I spent a lot of time reading science fiction. Mm-hmm. I know even at one point I began to believe I was an alien, you know. So I was reading too much. I was reading too much science fiction, and somehow it ended. And I'm not sure why it ended. Maybe my parents took my library card away from me. But yeah, that was my special card when I was growing up, was my library card, because I could walk into the village and go to the library, and I had enough money left over, I'd have a banana split or something at the ice cream shop, you know. Nice. So that was my big fun, was actually going to the library. So no wonder I ended up librarian kind of thing. So yeah, well that's interesting. So how do your parents factor? Are your parents readers? I think Jude's pretty much told us that his dad and I guess your mom's pretty much a reader too.
She likes audiobooks more because she's on her feet a lot in the kitchen teaching class. She tries to get through some college classes, avid listener of the KPCG programs. But yeah, she does audiobooks too, and she reads when she can. Yeah.
So what about you, Zoe? Parents really into it?
Yeah, my dad reads as he walks everywhere. So most people know that because they see him.
He stays such a straight line on the sidewalk, too. I mean, it's like he doesn't go in the grass, he doesn't hit a tree, he just stays right on line.
I don't like to walk. I like to run. Yeah, I like to get to where I need to go.
Yeah, I like to run, too. So what about you, Leah? Your parents, I know... Probably your mom's a reader, isn't she?
Yes, my mom. I think my mom is probably more of a reader than my dad, but my dad is reading too. He's actually also reading the William Manchester book on Winston Churchill. He's in the first volume. And my mom actually started backwards because he's reading the first one, and then we bought the third book came in before the second one because we bought them online. So then she's starting on the third one, and she's moving backwards. So, yeah, so we're actually all kind of working on that series right now.
So what I'm driving at, it's really the young people that are really good readers, it's generally because it's an environment created at the home. You know, it's like parents are readers. I know my wife and I, ever since we've met, we read books together and then we discuss them. I mean, that's just a part of our life, you know. And sometimes, I mean, there are certain novels that we do like. I mean, we both like mystery novels. And we like spy novels. And so if we take a little vacation and we're really off by ourselves, we'll like buy the latest spy novel. We'll get two copies. We'll read it on the beach, and then we'll talk about it at night over dinner. But my wife's always faster than I am. She can get through. I said, how do you get that? How do you get so far ahead? And she skips all the details, unnecessary details. You know, like the spies are going through cities, and they describe the cities, and... Meanwhile, I'm all caught up in the words of the cities and how did this guy describe the city? And so really, for all your parents out there, it's really, if you want your children to be readers, you've got to set the pace for them. And that's what I was trying to drive to this. So, well, it looks like we're also out of time now for this program. So I just wanted to thank all three of you for coming in. And thank you, Jude, for coming. Thank you, Zoe. Thank you, Leah. So we may do this again sometime. I think it'd be a lot of fun. What do you think?
It was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would do it again.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. Next time, the 60-plus panel will be back to finish our discussion of George and Martha Washington. And remember, our third and final book in this series is Hero, the Life and Legend of Lawrence of Arabia. Now, when we get into that program, I'll announce to you what we're going to be covering through 2019, and I pretty much have all the series already planned out. I think you're going to be excited about it. The Lawrence of Arabia book you can buy at Amazon.com. You can also find a really good used copy of it at abebooks.com. And, of course, you can always check your local library. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can also follow JBL on Twitter at JBLiterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature, and remember, you can leave me a comment at Facebook. So, until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.